together the fruits of the Spirit. If you don't know them, don't be embarrassed, you don't have to say it, but some of you here know them. So we'll have a go at saying them together. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Very, that's great. Good number of you know what they are. You find them in Galatians chapter 5 if you want to mug them up yourself and learn them. I always run through a little song in my head, actually. I don't know if you do. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. For such there is no law. It's an old Fisher Folk song from the 1970s. So that's how I remember. You may have a different way of doing it. But what we're going to do is each of these first Sundays of the month, and by the way, some of them are fiddled about a bit, might be a second Sunday, we're going to be taking one of these themes. However, we are going to juxtapose, that's a big word for a Sunday morning, we are going to turn around two of the Sundays, and May is going to be kindness, because it just happens to be the Hope 08 month when Million Hours of Kindness is happening, and you'll hear more about that near the time. So we will change them around, and also there'll be one or two Sundays when it's the second Sunday of the month. April, for instance, we'll have the second Sunday of the month. But you'll be able to think about, before you come to a Sunday class, what we're doing. And if you've got things that you'd like to bring, and ideas and thoughts about how we could learn more together about the fruit of the Spirit on a Sunday class morning, please come and tell us. So, the first one is love. So this is a Sunday all about love. And I think we've got, oh, there it is, the big heart. And of course, this is the month when we have Valentine's. You will receive, before you go this morning, a Valentine. I'll talk about that later. But actually, we wanted this morning just to get some people or someone to share just about their experience of love in a context which many of us will be familiar with, the context of family and marriage. But not just people who've known about it for a little while, but people who have known about it for some time. So I'm going to ask Ian and Teresa to come. And they're just going to take a few minutes to talk about what love means to them in their lives.
So we'd like, first of all, in my case, to say the way I remember the fruit of the Spirit is pathetic. It's LJPPKFG, gentleness and self-control. That's my method. Unique to me only. I have to have simple ways of remembering these things. Sorry about the PP bit in the middle. We want you to rejoice with us because on Monday, Adam's brother, Mark, married to Betsy in the United States, became a dad, so we're grandparents. And I'm getting used to the idea of being a grandfather, but I am having a lot of difficulty being married to a grandmother. That I can't get my head around that bit. We're going to try to talk to you a little bit about our experience of God's love coming down to us, in us, and flowing out from us. Quite a challenging thing to do, but we'll give it a shot. But we thought we'd give you the opposite first. You perhaps know that Teresa is Polish, and we've got a joke for you called, a very silly joke actually, called Polish Divorce.
Okay. A Polish man moved to Scotland and married a Scottish girl. Although his English was far from perfect, they got along pretty well, until one day he rushed into a lawyer's office and asked him to arrange a divorce for him. The lawyer said that getting a divorce would depend on the circumstances, and he proceeded to ask him the following questions. Have you any grounds? Yes, half acre and nice little home. No, I mean, what is the foundation of this case? It made of concrete. I don't think you understand. Does either of you have a real grudge? No, we have carport. And not need one. I mean, what are your relations like? All my relations still in Poland. Is there any infidelity in your marriage? We have high fidelity stereo and good DVD player. Does your wife beat you up? No, I always up before her. Is your wife a nagger? No, she white.
Sorry.
Why do you want this divorce? She going to kill me. What makes you think that? I got proof. What kind of proof? She going to poison me. She buy a bottle at chemist and put it on shelf in bathroom. I can read, and it say, polish remover.
Yeah, terrible, terrible joke. Very silly. That's what the internet does for you. A bit challenging to share about what we're going to try to do here, but on the other hand, we've been asked, and it's good to try and share what you can, isn't it? It does help. It's loving, actually, to share, so very relevant to give it a go. We hope what we say may be of some use to illustrate what you'll hear later on from Colin as an illustration of the fruit of the Spirit of love. And maybe as we share, some stories of your own will come to mind and you'll be able to remember some good things from your own life. John wrote in his first letter, "Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God." And that's what we'd like to talk about, love coming from God into us, our experiencing it in our marriage, in our family, living it, trying to live it, and then letting it radiate out. So we're going to try and talk about our experience of God's love towards us as two people, a married couple, God's love working in us for one another, and then our seeking to love others beyond our own marriage. And we'll try and offer you some illustrations. Well, first of all, God's love towards us. When and how have we experienced God's love towards us? Well, first and foremost, in our meeting and in our courtship, God brought us together here, actually in Edinburgh, might surprise you to know, and in the David Hume Tower, if you want the detail, an unlikely place for the beginning of a romance, you might think. Certainly an unlikely place for this unlikely pair, because we have here a Polish Catholic and a Scots Presbyterian or Reformed person. I would not recommend my chat-up line in the David Hume Tower cafeteria. It went like this. So tell me, what exactly is confession? But believe it or not, friendship grew from that, and then romance, and then marriage.
So we started going out together in the Week of Prayer for Christian Unity in 1969. That was actually, but instead of going to the cinema or going to parties, we actually went to church, and it was the first time that I had been inside a Presbyterian church, a Church of Scotland church, though I'd grown up in this country, for a service. And it was the first time Ian had been to Mass in this country. And although we fell in love and thought each other was wonderful, we always felt that there was more that God had for us. And it wasn't just a matter of boy meets girl, that God had another purpose for our life, and that it was to do with the unity of God's people, the unity of the body of Christ.
Continuing on the theme of God's love towards us, the way we've often experienced that, and I'm sure you have too, is in God's providing for us. And I'd just like to give you some instances in our own life. First of all, God provided us with work. That's a very important thing to recognize, that God does provide us with that, and we're grateful for that through our lives. God took us to London, and that was seriously important, very significant as provision from God, because I have to say I had a huge heart for living in Scotland. I'm sure Teresa did too, and wanted to live here partly because I've been brought up abroad so much and wanted to be back in Scotland. But God took us to London, whether we liked it or not, and that was through work. And it's just as well, because with our calling in 1969, 1970, 1971, and thereafter of being an ecumenical marriage, frankly, at that time we would have come under quite a lot of strain as a marriage of that sort here in Scotland, certainly in the west of Scotland where my employer was. London, on the other hand, was a melting pot where there was greater tolerance, more understanding between Christians, less entrenched views. So God taking us out of Scotland against our will was actually his love and his provision for us, and we recognize that today.
And then God provided in a most extraordinary way for us as an ecumenical couple. Just when I was pregnant with Mark, with our second one, we came across an American group who were talking about Christian unity and God calling people from different denominations, not to leave their denominations, but to be a body together, to worship Him together. And we thought this was absolutely amazing, that God had provided for us a context in which we could worship together, which we could be together, in which we could bring up our children in the call which we felt He had on our lives. And that was called the Antioch community. But not only that, it was a wonderful support just in terms of our marriage and in terms of bringing up our children in God's ways.
Well, jumping very far ahead now, God provided in another dramatic way much later on. He opened up the way eventually for our coming back to Scotland to have our heart's desire, as it were, and indeed to our favourite city, Edinburgh, where we'd met. And in a great act of generosity, which is still stunning to think about today, the antecedent of Community Church Edinburgh City Fellowship was kind enough to put me on staff for a year in order to get us established here. So that got us home. That was God's provision for getting us home here. Furthermore, God provided work beyond that time in ways that we could not have imagined. First of all, Teresa got a job very unexpectedly at Murkison Castle School, where she still works today. And really surprisingly, because I was known in London as a technophobe, I started to work for Microsoft. Doesn't bear thinking about, does it? I know my way around a computer now, but I didn't when I started working for Microsoft, believe it or not. And I also worked for Scottish Enterprise. And all of that was God's provision and led me to what I'm doing today in a roundabout way, city centre Christian work in what is called business matters, as some of you know. But finishing off on God's love, His provision, we have to tell you the most spectacular way in which we've experienced God's love in our marriage and in our family. And it was through His intervention, as many of you know, in Adam's life, sitting down here on the front left-hand side as we look at you. Many of you will know that he came off a roof in Marchmont some 5 years ago, falling 55 to 60 feet. He should have been a goner. And instead, he walked into this church unaided, apart from one crutch, 2.5 weeks later. So that was spectacular intervention of God and provision of God and the love of God writ so large it's hard to begin to describe it to you. And I've got in parentheses here, thank you, God, for your steadfast love, for your hesed to us. For you promised us years ago that we would miss nothing and no one. On the 28th of September 1983, I can remember the place, I actually got a sense from the Lord from Job 5, you will miss nothing in your family, you will miss no one. And that's been proved to be the case. Thank you, God. So those are instances of God's love coming towards us, if you like. What we'd like to tell you a little bit about now is how we've experienced that love flowing between us within our marriage, God's love moving through each of us to the other. And Teresa's going to kick us off on that.
So, coming back on to the ecumenical theme, which runs through our life so much, we had this calling, and God gave each one of us the grace, not only to embrace one another's families, but also to embrace one another's church families. So we went a lot to one another's churches. But initially, in the first few years, it was a little bit like children sharing out sweets in a playground. One to you and one to me. One to you and one to me. I do something for you, you do something for me. But God had something much, much better for us and much richer, because when we joined what became the Antioch community, which was this ecumenical group, and we just came into a much deeper experience of God's love and being filled in the Holy Spirit. And so thus His love had greater expression in us, and we stopped all this one to you and one to me. And we just went with the flow. Whatever blesses you, blesses me. And that was a great freedom, because we stopped counting. In a marriage, you can't be counting. You can't be counting neither the blessings nor the wrongs. You don't count, you just do, you just love. So that was a great freedom.
Here's now my take on an aspect of Teresa's love for me, as I can recall it for you. As far back as 1986, actually on a towpath of a canal when I was jogging, I got a sense from the Lord that we were supposed to be back in Scotland and in Edinburgh. And it was quite a strong experience. And of course, I thought, well, that must mean next month or, you know, within the next year. But clearly God had a different timing in all of this. Teresa felt, well, you know, that sounds like the Lord, but I don't think it's for now. And I felt it was for now. So that set up a tension, as you can imagine. And we did eventually move back, but it took 12 years. And that was God's perfect timing. And in that timing, Teresa had to, as it were, not only put up with me wanting to get back and talking about it, but had to love me through that and be there for me. It wasn't easy for her, but I saw the fruit of the Spirit of love continuing in her life for me, even though we had different understandings of what we should be doing about getting back to Scotland. So that's an example for me.
Of course, it was a test for him too, having this woman dragging her heels. One aspect of the way that Ian has, that is an ongoing situation, Ian's love for me, is after I came up to Scotland, 2 years after that, I came up against major health challenges, which have really meant that I haven't been able to do as much as I would like to do, particularly as I'm still working. And Ian has a huge heart and a great enthusiasm and would love to be doing much, much more. But he has had to slow down a bit so that we're not completely out of kilter. And that has obviously been difficult for him, for us. However, one great blessing is in bed, he prays for me every night. And that's a great blessing in itself. It's a great blessing for him because it's quite soporific and sends him to sleep.
So those are instances of the love flowing between us within our marriage. Finally, what we want to talk about is love by the grace of God flowing from us to others, love flowing through us to the people around us. And here's my take on this in Teresa's life, if you like. When we first announced, this is a delicate subject, but when we first announced to our families that we were courting, Teresa's family had no difficulty at all with that. They accepted me from the start with much generosity of spirit. One or two folks, shall we say, on my side of the family were exercised by the prospect of my marrying a Catholic. And we won't go into the detail, but suffice it to say that my family refused to meet Teresa and finally only met her because we announced that we're engaged and we're even going to tell you the wedding day. That's when they, as it were, had to start accommodating this new reality. Well, you can only guess at the pain that that will have caused us, Teresa, her family. But by the grace of God, and this is to me wonderful to relate to you, Teresa single-mindedly said, I'm going to bear no grudge, no resentment, no ill will whatsoever at any time about this. And by the grace of God, that's what she's managed to do all these decades. God's love flowed through her to her future in-laws, to the people who became her in-laws, to her wider family on my side. And today, my dad is 88. He's still with us. He's only slightly less inimical towards Catholicism than he was because he's getting older. However, he holds his daughter-in-law in the highest esteem, I might tell you, and asks for her advice. He doesn't ask mine, but he asks hers. And that's a very wonderful thing to see, that the result of that fruit of love in Teresa at this stage. And just something that's not in the notes here is that before my mum died, I remember being in hospital with her, and one of the highlights for me was when I mentioned Teresa's name, she lit up. And it was as if I just told her about winning the jackpot. She lit up just at the mention of Teresa's name, and I thought, that is the fruit of Teresa's holding on to the gift of God in her, the fruit of the Spirit of love. It's been a long haul, but that's where we've come to.
But that was also part of my loving Ian. You know, I love him, so I love his family. I love his people. They're my people. It's normal. It's natural. The last thing that I want to share in the other direction was we were in this ecumenical community, and at one point Ian was asked to take a leadership role. But there were a few Catholics in the community who were sort of very strict by the rules. And they were very upset about this because we had decided in God, we felt and guided by the Lord, not at that point to be bringing up our children as Roman Catholic. So we're not going to go into the ins and outs of all these rules and regulation. But anyway, these folk had serious difficulty with it. Well, in the end, Ian did take on the leadership role. But not only that, you know, the Catholics came round to it, but God put him on a committee, at least we felt that God put him on a committee of Catholics who run Catholic men's weekends around the UK. And in fact, the first one in Scotland was last year. And once or twice, Ian, being very overcommitted, had tried to get off this committee, but he didn't feel that God had given him the liberty to do that. So there he is, you know, despite a few brickbats now and then and misunderstanding, well, that's normal. He's still there, and he's still serving my Catholic brothers and sisters.
So we hope that's been helpful, illustrative. Thanks for listening.
Thank you, Ian and Teresa. That's exactly what I hoped they would do. And I'm not going to preach, you'll be glad to hear. What I'm going to do is just draw the threads together briefly. And also, I promised you a Valentine, so here you can pass these out. And if you just take one and pass them along. Because I just want to tell you what this is about. Take one, pass them along around there. They're coming to you. Take one, pass them along. You know, Valentine, we don't know who he was. And actually, take some more actually there. We don't know who he was. And in fact, all the stuff that we have to do with Valentine's Day doesn't really come out of a church background. It comes out of Geoffrey Chaucer's bigging it up in the 15th century, really, of the 14th, 15th century. So the romantic love idea, that love is romantic love, misses something that comes out very much in what Ian and Teresa were talking about. They started off with a romantic love, and I'm sure there still is romance. But what we're talking about today is not about marriage. It's not bigging up marriage and saying this is a wonderful thing. We're talking about love expressed particularly through what they were expressing in terms of their reaching across the traditions to one another, showing that God's love goes beyond. And also the fact that that love maintains through years, through challenges, and through changes. Ian mentioned a word there when he talked about steadfast love, the word hesed, which is the Hebrew word, which is almost untranslatable. But the nearest thing we have to it is loyal, wedded love. It's the nearest thing we can have that understands it. And that's how God deals with us. And what it says on these little bookmarks that you've got this morning is from your first love. Because God, whoever we are, whether we are married, whether we're single, whether we're young, whether we're old, we have a lover. And you can read in 1 John 4:19, we love him because he first loved us. He first loved us. Before even our parents saw us, before our family knew us, before our partners knew us. He knows us better than everyone. He is our first love. And he wants that love to continue to flow out. through us. The only way that love can flow out through us is not trying harder. Have you noticed that? If you try, I'm going to try harder to love this person, I'm going to try harder to love that person. That's not actually how love flows. Love is the fruit of the Holy Spirit. And it's only as we open up more and more to the person and to the activity of the Holy Spirit in our lives that we can actually give love out to others. So it's been great to hear that sharing this morning from Ian and Teresa. It's been great to hear of God's love in action, not just in terms of the husband and wife, but also across barriers, across traditions, that God's love has seen them through the years. Be praying for one another. God says, let brotherly love, let sisterly love continue. And it's one of the things that has to continue on and on. One of the things some of you heard me say, and you'll probably hear me say it many times again, is that there are only two capital letters in the Hebrew Bible. Most of the letters in the Hebrew Bible are the same size. There are only two capital letters, one right at the beginning, the first letter, which is the letter B, beginning, just happens to be, and the other one is in Exodus 34, where God says that he maintains loyal love. And the word maintains, keeps, has a capital letter in Hebrew, telling us that God never fails. His love goes on and on, and that's how he wants our love to be as well. He wants our love, drawing on his love, drawing on the Holy Spirit, to continually go beyond what we naturally are able to do. The band's going to come back and just finish off this section of the morning with a song, and then we're going to have coffee and donuts. Lovingly, share them lovingly with each other. Allow each other to get to the table. Express the fruit. Then we're going to come back again at 12 and we're going to pray and worship a bit more together. We thank you, Lord, that you have shown your love to us by first loving us. When we didn't even know you, when our parents didn't even know us, that you've loved us. But now, Lord, you don't just love us and allow us to have that experience, but you call us to continue that love, to be channels of that love to one another and to a world that needs to know you. Lord, teach us how to deal with the barriers that stop love. Holy Spirit, break through and make more room in us for the extensive, broad love of God that is beyond comparison, is beyond understanding. Cause us just to remain in love with one another as the rest of this time goes on, as we fellowship together, as we come back together in worship and in prayer. Holy Spirit of love, grow love among us. In the name of Jesus, lover of our soul. Amen. We're going to stop and have coffee. The donuts will appear on that table. Enjoy this half an hour. We'll come back at 12. We're going to clear the chairs away, by the way, so please don't leave your belongings on the chairs. If you can move them to the side and find a place for them, and maybe even begin to pile up the chairs during this time so that we can come together and use the space to move around and worship.